today on the Girl Defined Show, we're talking about the pitfalls of both purity culture and sex education. Now, some of you may have grown up in purity culture and you're like, yeah, I can totally see all the pitfalls of that. And some of you may have only had a conversation through public health education from your school, some sort of sex ed class. Maybe you had both. But either way, I think there are some serious pitfalls in both of those departments. And we are bringing someone on who is not only a professional health expert, a sex ed expert who has been in the public health space for many, many years, but she also has a great understanding of purity culture, this incredible knowledge of both. And she's going to bring to us what she thinks is the middle option, the better option, the more biblical option to truly help us thrive in this area, to help us raise a generation of young people that understand God's good design and don't fall into either pitfall. Let's go. What's up, sisterhood? It's Bethany here. And if you are thinking, okay, what is this all about? So I'm actually interviewing an amazing lady named Kristen, and she is the founder of Sex Ed Reclaimed. But her wealth of knowledge about sexuality, about sex, and just her perspective is amazing. So we got into some of the nitty-gritty details. I'm like, if I have her on, I need to know about things that we as women deal with and why sometimes we feel so disconnected and awkward about our own bodies. You know, even when it comes to things like periods or just how our bodies operate, intimacy within marriage. And she was incredible. I was like, I need to have her on for another conversation where you all just ask me all the best questions that are super awkward, that we think are awkward. And then we jump in and ask her all of our juicy questions. So she was like, I'll totally do that. So I think I'm going to have her back on for that. But we had such an incredible conversation. And if you are someone who's like, yes, I want to take a deeper dive on God's amazing design for sex. I want to know like how to view intimacy like in a biblical way. I want to work through past issues, past struggles. I want to work through current struggles with porn, masturbation, erotica, whatever it is. Our book, Sex, Purity, and the Longings of a Girl's Heart, Discovering the Beauty and Freedom of God-Defined Sexuality is for you. That book should be a required reading for all single, engaged, and married women. It is not just a book for single women. So if you are engaged or married, you need to read this because you may have brought mindsets and ideas about sexual intimacy, about sex into marriage that you don't want to be there. And so Sex, Purity, and the Longings of a Girl's Heart would be so helpful in debunking and getting rid of and just changing your mind on maybe lies or false mindsets and really helping you line back up with scripture and find freedom and just really thrive in this area. So without further ado, let's jump into this incredible conversation. And here we go. Let's chat with Kristen. All right, Kristen, I am so glad that you're here. Now, I have been scouring your website and your Instagram, Sex Ed Reclaimed, but can you just introduce yourself and a little bit about what you're doing with Sex Ed Reclaimed?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited about what the Lord is doing with Sex Ed Reclaimed. This was something that really came to me through prayer and through a weekend of fasting, actually. I never wanted to be a sex ed teacher. That was never my plan in life. I was never like, oh, this is something absolutely I love to do. In fact, I hated speaking in front of people. Like I would get so nervous. Yes. And then right before I started grad school, truly, to give you a bit of background, I was praying for a job to be able to pay for grad school. Yeah. I was studying public health. I needed work. And I was praying. And it was one of those prayers that God answered immediately. And I got this phone call, hey, will you teach at the university? Then we'll provide for you to go here. Wow. We'll pay for you to go here. Great. Perfect. Would love to. Can't wait to teach Introduction to Public Health. It'll be so easy and great.
Yeah.
No, I was going to be teaching a class on human sexuality. And I was terrified. I can't teach this class. My family doesn't talk about sex. I don't know how to talk about that. I hate public speaking. What am I going to do? And then as I began to do it, first thinking that God made a mistake, I realized that, oh my gosh, sex is not this evil thing that's from the evil one. It's the opposite. It's a good thing that's from the good creator who loves us. It's actually his. It was his all along. But we're sinners and we've gone astray from his design for it. And so I started to really shift in graduate school from thinking that it was this ugly, dirty, secret thing that with shame, with so much shame associated with it to, oh my gosh, it's a beautiful thing. Mm. And it's ours. As children of God, this is something that is ours, but we need to look at what he made it for. Mm. And so I ended up loving it and I have been doing sex ed really ever since. So that's been really cool.
Wow.
But this particular company that I've just started called Sex Ed Reclaimed is really focused on how Christians can talk about sex with their kids. Mm-hmm. And it's not just tips and tricks and like quick, you know, Instagram reels.
Yes.
Well, that is part of it. It is the education. Like, I am providing the education for parents to use in their home because I want parents to have access, to be comfortable with the material, to be able to screen it, to be able to pick and choose what they want to watch and what they want to engage with their children on. But it's for kids of all ages. It's not just little ones. It's not just teenagers, because I really believe sex ed is a conversation over the course of your lifetime. That if it's something good that God created, then it's always been ours. But the idea of reclaiming sex ed really came to me, like I said, through prayer, that this is God's.
Yeah, I love that. You know, it's so interesting to me because I was homeschooled. I grew up, you know, my entire life, never stepped a foot in a classroom. And I always like dreamed of that. Like, I wonder what it's like to go to real school, you know? But a lot of the people listening here, you know, at the Girl Defined show grew up in either private school or public school. We do have some homeschoolers as well, but that's probably more the minority. And, you know, I think that a lot of our women are looking back on the teaching they received about sex and sexuality and are feeling confused because there were only those conversations happening for many of them in school. And then at home, even if they were in a Christian family, a lot of it was silence. And there was a lot of silence in my home around the topic as well. And so there's just confusion because you're hearing, okay, this is kind of what I'm hearing at school or being taught in my health class, not really hearing anything else. So there's just confusion. So can you take us back and just share with us, what are some of the things that maybe within the public health system or public education that we had been taught, were being taught, just to kind of, for those of us who aren't familiar with that, give us kind of some insight of what that might've looked like.
Yeah. Well, I think like you alluded to, it depends where you were taught. Were you taught in the home, or was your home mainly silent on this topic? Were you taught in a public school system, in a Christian school system? Because that had a big influence on what you began to believe and think about sex.
Yeah.
That's normal. You know, education is really important, and where it happens, it does matter. It has influence on us. So I think people learned a few different things about sex growing up in, let's say, the early 2000s to, you know, 2010s.
Yeah.
They learned either that sex was something you were totally silent about, therefore there was a good amount of shame connected to it, right? Like that is like I was saying earlier, that's a dirty thing that we don't talk about.
Yes.
So I cannot mention it, and I cannot bring up anything with my parents or adults, or maybe even with my friends. I don't know how to talk about that because I've never been given a narrative of how to talk about it. Or you were in an educational system or a setting where you did learn about it, but you might have learned from a very fear-based mentality where, whether it was like a public health type setting or more of a purity culture type setting, it was, hey, this is the bad stuff that can happen to you if you participate in that. And not that those things aren't true necessarily, but it was really scary. And the idea of like, just say no, you could get this STI, you could get pregnant, you know, this infection will kill you. Those do work for some people, that kind of fear-based modeling, but the majority of people don't respond well to that. And my background in public health, that I really learned that, you know, we look at a lot of studies, what kinds of education work, and fear-based typically doesn't work. So I think some sex ed was probably fear-based. Oh my goodness, look at this crazy looking infection. Wouldn't it be terrible to have that?
Like,
you know, wouldn't it be terrible to get pregnant at 15? And so again, that did connect shame to sex. And there was really no way out of that if you already walked into those situations. Like, there wasn't really grace or mercy offered. Or you might have been in a setting where you got a lot of purity culture narrative. So for example, I don't think they had bad intentions, the leaders of that movement and teachers, but there were some pretty bad effects from it, which combined fear-based, you know, silence. And what it did, I think, was shut down any conversation around sex. So it said, hey, this is what happens to you if you're no longer a virgin. This is why you shouldn't be having sex.
Yeah.
And see you later. instead of, hey, let's have a conversation, let's really critically engage around what's going on in the culture. What do you think is working? Why or why not? How are kids talking about sex? Is that good? Is that bad? Like, it didn't converse with the student. It just came in, gave almost some legalistic tendency type values, and then it exited. And again, I don't think those leaders had bad motives. In fact, there was probably some truth sprinkled in there.
Yeah.
But some of it got really twisted to be really unhealthy. You know, there was some really bad metaphors in the 2000s used, like, if you have sex, you know, and you're a piece of tape, let's say you're a piece of tape, and then you have sex, you're going to lose your stickiness, right? Yes. And that was, then those girls and those guys thought about, oh, wow, I don't have my stickiness anymore as a piece of tape, which is not what you are, by the way. Therefore, I don't have purpose. I don't have value. And that is not what God teaches us. And so it did damage conversation around sex and it damaged kind of our self-worth and our value, which we're created in God's image. We have incredible self-worth and value. So I think those are the narratives people learned.
It's interesting. I've been a part of like singles groups and now being married for almost 4 years, like young married groups. And it was interesting because at church in the singles group, there's probably like 100 of us, anywhere from like, 21 to 40, the age range. And we actually did a series on like biblical sexuality. And I remember at one point the pastor who was leading like the whole discussion and everything, he had us raise our hands. Like, how many of you have been taught like anything about like biblical sexuality, a biblical view of sex, either at church or in your home? And in this room of like 100 of us, maybe 4 people raised their hand. And I thought that was so interesting. And then in our young marrieds group, it was like the same thing. Like, no one had any biblical teaching on this. So like I was saying, a lot of the understanding about sex and sexuality either came from the internet, from friends, or from maybe a class at school. And so I'm curious, just with your experience and your professional background, looking out at a lot of like millennials today, people in their 30s who are really in that place, either they're still single or they have gotten married, maybe they're even starting to have kids. What are some of the negative consequences of that silence, especially in the church and from Christian families, and really their only, source of information coming either from school or from the internet?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think whole books have been written on this from some of the kind of passionate millennials who really want to speak into how this narrative influenced their adult life and their parenting now. But to have a short answer to that, I think some of the consequence of that is that, A, I do think people left the church and walked away from community because they didn't feel safe. Maybe they were struggling with like sexual identity stuff. Maybe they were struggling with a past abuse. And now they felt like a piece of tape, who had lost their stickiness because of something done to them. Maybe they didn't feel like they had a safe space for questions or could really talk. And so they left whole bodies of believers. They left the church really because they didn't feel safe there. They didn't feel like they could ask their questions. And so I think that's one of the negative effects that can occur. Additionally, I think some people walked into marriages or even, they're walking right now as singles thinking, what does my sexuality like mean? What is the purpose of it? How can it glorify God? And how am I supposed to know the answers to that? Now, some of those millennials have gone and found out, they've found like Christian authors or people who speak into sexual brokenness or groups. They've, like I said, written books and they're really speaking out about what is God's design? And what does that say to me who is single and in her 30s or who is gay or is same-sex attracted? Like how does that speak into my life now? Some people are really seeking that out, praise God, and still looking to him. But many others just didn't feel safe, I think, in that community. And so as a young parent, I think it kind of is this blank slate of like, oh my goodness, where do I begin? I've never had a healthy model for this. I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do here. My kid is just coming home from school. They're coming home from a play date and they've seen this or the show we watched today had this type of couple in it or this type of family. I don't know how to talk about that yet. And there's some fear that can set in. And I don't want parents to feel that fear. I I want them to actually feel more prepared for that. And that's really, again, where Sex Ed Reclaimed, I think, can come in and help come alongside parents in that conversation. But I also think of kids who had the one talk, you know, they just had the talk, the birds and the bees, and that was it. And it's like, that is not how sex ed works either. Like, it's just not one talk. You cannot fit it all in. And so maybe they're kind of gearing up to be like, okay, when should I have that talk? Or when should we have the puberty talk? Or, and it's, again, it's scary and fearful. Yes. But it doesn't have to be one talk. In fact, it's not best as one talk.
Yeah.
So I think those are some of the consequences of where kind of, yeah, in answer to your question, those are some of the consequences of what can happen moving forward. Yeah.
I can absolutely see that. And even in, you know, my own life, it's crazy because Kristen and I, my sister who runs Girl Defined with me, we, you know, we, like I said, we're homeschooled our whole lives and very much grew up, I would say, in the midst of like the purity culture kind of movement. And I feel very grateful that the impacts of that weren't as negative as others. And we've done, you know, a whole podcast episode on that, on purity culture. But it's crazy because Kristen and I decided to write a book called Sex, Purity, and the Longings of a Girl's Heart. And so we are, you know, never set out to talk about sex, never set out to have these conversations. But like you, it's become such a passionate topic for me because it's, you know, the world is sharing their messages. They have no problem shoving down our throats what we should be thinking, what we should be learning, what we should be accepting. Really? And Christians, I think, are doing a better job of starting to have these conversations, especially for women. I feel like women have been just left out of the ballpark altogether. And so having even more of these conversations for women, and now even equipping young parents, you know, parents with young kids, or, you know, these parents, you know, who are, you know, hope to be parents, or even single people, to better have these conversations with the next generation. So I love that you're doing that. I mean, it's such a passion and such a like heart cry of ours. But I think a lot of women are in this place where they're like, okay, I maybe have a toddler, like I have a 2.5-year-old, and I, you know, or I'm pregnant, and the thought of ever having these conversations terrifies me because I still have so much, it feels like, brokenness or unanswered questions or something I've never even shared with someone. So how could I ever have these conversations with my kids because I still feel so lost? So what is your advice to the woman who's in that place who still feels like, I don't want to talk about this because I don't even know what in the world is going on?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really normal fear to have. My advice is a few different things. One, you're not going to mess up so bad that you are going to ruin your child. I think control is hard for all of us. And we want to, once we become parents, God starts to work on that a little bit in our life because we see that we don't have as much control as we once, you know, thought we did. But one conversation, one thing that happens out in the world is not going to ruin the life of your child to the point that you will no longer have access to them and access to parent them and access to have conversations about sex. So even when conversations don't go as well as you want, or you feel that you've messed up, there is hope, there is grace. And yes, it's ultimately at the foot of the cross, but there is also more opportunities which will come your way, and they will happen probably quicker than you think that they will. More possibilities to really go a different way down that conversation or try something different with your child. And what works for one kid might not work for the second kid or the third kid. And so you'll keep learning as you go. And I think that's okay. That's part of parenting. The other advice I would give, and this maybe is going to come as a bit surprising, is I would really actually process your own like pain, your own fears, your own shame around sex. You know, like I mentioned earlier, we're all sexually broken. Like we've all gone against God's design for sex in one way or another. And recognizing that and humbling yourself before God and saying, okay, God, like I am sexually broken, but like you offer me grace, forgiveness, mercy, and love. You love me.
Yes.
So I can come to you and tell you these things, or I can come to you and weep. I can come to you and grieve. I can come to you and ask. So I would actually go to God with some of your hurts first, especially when your kids are young, or like you said, like you're pregnant, congratulations, by the way, you know, when you're thinking about, okay, I want to have these conversations in the future with my child, or I want to take these opportunities that, you know, that present themselves. Well, take this time now before those even come up to really pray, to process, you know, whether that's journaling, like writing music, I don't know, yes, whatever it is, just spending time in prayer before the Lord and saying, hey, God, this is what I'm struggling with. This is what I don't understand. Maybe you'll recognize, wait, I actually need to go seek counseling about this. This was really hurtful. Or I actually need to go ask for forgiveness, or I need to go maybe seek out a conversation with a parent of mine. If that's going to be a healthy, you know, choice for you and something, I don't know, that God's leading you to, like, seek out what God wants you to do in terms of your own sexual brokenness first, because we did grow up in hard times. And so are these little kids right now. It's difficult for different reasons, but, we grew up with some conversations that weren't helpful for us, or with silence that wasn't encouraging. And so we need to process those too before we really start to educate our own children. And then lastly, I would say, know that there's a lot of people who desire to help you in this sphere. Like, there are Christians working in this space. They're passionate, they're excited, they have their own stories, but they're willing to help you. And you might find encouragement in simple things, you know, in posts you see, in articles you read, in emails you receive, but because there's more conversation around it, more people are talking.
Yes.
And so you're going to have friends who you can go to, you know, in fellowship and be like, how are you doing with this? Like, what, you know, what's worked for you? Or mentors maybe who did it well, like, you did this really well. What can I learn from you? And I think those conversations are happening more. So it's really encouraging for young parents now.
Absolutely. You know, and as a young mom myself, I look at what you're doing and I'm like, thank you, because it's, you know, you don't, I have those fears as well. Like, oh, I'm going to, you know, mess my poor, my child up, my children up, and it's, they're just going to be doomed and they're never going to want to talk to me, you know, all those fears. But there are people like you who have been in this space for a long time and who are really trying to help us understand God's good design. And like you're saying, like, reclaim it, reclaim God's good design for sex and sexuality. And so there is so much hope, and there are, like, resources like yours. And so I'm curious, do you think that for a current, like a young mom like myself, I'm not necessarily young anymore, but I have young kids, or a mom, you know, a single woman who hopes to be a mom one day, do you feel like your courses, which I know are coming and I'm so excited about them, would they be helpful in that process of not only teaching your children, but working through them to, like, reshape our own perspectives of sex and sexuality?
Yes, absolutely. I love that you asked that, because I have girls and guys come to me like, I think I just need to download or purchase, you know, your content for myself. And I'm like, yeah, do it. Because so many of us, you know, like we're talking about, never had good sex ed. And so we don't even know what's going on with X, Y, or Z. And so, yes, I absolutely think, while I'm directing my content towards parents, it's also directed towards youth groups, towards, you know, nannies, towards young adults who are maybe even still in college or still in an academic space and are wondering, wait, I don't know the answers to these kinds of things, but I would love to. And I would love to be able to talk about them with kids I mentor, or kids I disciple, when they have questions. So really, ultimately, my content is for any adult who is looking to either learn about sex themselves or talk to the next generation. And that might mean teachers. You know, some people are teaching or are in youth group situations, or maybe they're in child ministry. And this can equip you.
Yes.
Because all of my material is from godly perspective. I can't talk about sex without talking about God, because he created it and it is good. And so this might just equip adults who aren't even necessarily parents themselves yet, or are not at all. But who want to learn and who want to have good conversations with their nieces, nephews, you know, if they watch, other adults even. So I think most people will learn from my content. I've been learning a ton over the last decade of working as a sex ed teacher. So thankfully God has been teaching me a lot, but culture is ever changing too. And so there's always new challenges, but therefore new opportunities to really, be the light and the salt in places that are really dark.
Yeah.
Really dark. Yeah,
exactly. Well, and I love that you're, you know, all of that you just said, because You know, most of us are teaching in some capacity, whether we're a mentor or even a Sunday school teacher or a volunteer at something at our local church, or we have younger siblings, or we're hoping to be a mom someday. You know, like we all have those places of influence, and sexuality and sex is just truly a part of like the fiber of our culture today. I mean, everything on social media, I mean, you know, all the things we've talked about it here at Girl Define. And so I think intentionally equipping yourself so you don't feel afraid, so you don't feel like, oh, I have no idea what to say, but feeling confident to a degree, you know, you don't have to know everything, but your resources really do help us to have that confidence to where if somebody were to hint at something or to mention something, we don't run away from it. Like, okay, let me change directions because I have no idea what to say. I feel like your resources can really help with that. And jumping off of that, you mentioned something about, you know, just the sometimes the uncomfortableness or awkwardness we can feel. And so I want to know from your perspective, just having been in this space for so long, why do so many women, and me included in a lot of this, feel so uncomfortable with like natural functions and natural aspects of being a woman? So when it comes to even like a period, you know, like so many women, we don't even know. We really are so uneducated even with our own bodies. And so we feel very unequipped, very awkward, and just uncomfortable. And I'm just curious, like, why is it that way?
Yeah. I think it's that way because nobody ever made it something that was normal. Much like conversations around sex, you know, if you were taking out a tampon or a pad to go change in the bathroom, you had to like hide it in your pants or like take your whole bag or purse with you. And like, yeah, that's fine. You know, if you want to do that, that is fine. But if it truly is like out of a sense of shame about a period, which is something that naturally happens in your body to help you have children one day, right? Then that's probably not the best. Like we probably need to think, why do I have so much shame around, you know, this? And you know what? It's not our fault. It's not totally our fault.
Yeah.
People like puberty, peers, is an awkward time in general. Yes. And that's when you're getting your period. That's when your body is changing. That's when you're going through a lot at once. But when you don't have anybody to talk to about it, your parents, you know, other peers, close friends, family members, then more shame grows and more secrecy grows and you feel more and more awkward about your body. And so I think that's a normal reaction to potentially what, you know, you or I grew up in, which was silence. If nobody educated you about your body, about periods, about, hey, this is normal. Every human on the planet who is an adult has gone through puberty. You're going to feel awkward, but you really don't have to. You can come to me and talk to me about things like, there will be awkward moments of puberty. That's normal, but you know, you're going to be okay. You're going to survive. Like if somebody had had those kinds of conversations and that kind of relationship with us, we probably wouldn't feel as awkward about our bodies. Yes. Thankfully, I think that that's diminishing. I don't think there's as much awkward attitude around our body, but family units and peer groups in particular can have great influence on that because they can really, without malintention again, they can really encourage that awkward feeling around basic body functions that are actually a good thing. You've never really learned about them, you feel like scared and awkward about them. And so part of that's just puberty, but part of that is the lack of conversation around actually your body's really good. And here's what's normal and here's what maybe is common, but not normal, you know, and maybe come to me and talk to me about that. I never felt like I had anybody to talk to about those kinds of things, like at all. Honestly, probably until I had graduated college, did I feel like I could start to talk to people about natural aspects of your body. Hashtag same. I think one thing too, I want to mention that's important is like sex is meant to be pleasurable. God created sex to be pleasurable. And so there is pleasure like in our bodies, but we don't know what that means for our sex life. And we almost, I think in the Christian world in particular, we can look at that as like, oh, that's like an evil, bad thing because it's tied to this and this and this. But actually in the context God created sex to happen, which is marriage, like God created pleasure and good things to happen But if you've never talked about that until after the wedding day, then you're going to have more awkwardness, more shame of like, what am I supposed to do now? Like, it's supposed to be amazing now and it's not. And I don't know what to do and I don't know who to talk to because nobody else is talking about it. And that creates an awkward atmosphere too, because you want to talk about it, but you don't know what to do. Yeah.
It's so true. It's so interesting because I have become very, like open and talking about these things. And I was not comfortable like at all for like most of my life. So it's funny to me now that, you know, even in my family, they're like, oh, Bethany, she's just very comfortable talking about everything. And I'm like, I really didn't set out to be this way. But it is so sad to me when I hear from other women, especially on Instagram, like they'll send a DM and they're married and they say like, I don't even feel comfortable talking about this with my husband or I, you know, experiencing pain, but I don't want to share that because I feel bad. So for the woman who's in that place, who is just feeling, you know, for whatever reason, whatever her background, whatever her history, where she's just, you know, it may not even be that her husband is creating an unsafe space, but it's just, that has not been a comfortable conversation. How can she kind of push through that or find someone or what can she do to kind of get past that awkwardness and not live in like misery, especially within her marriage?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that breaks my heart because it is supposed to be this wonderful, safe, beautiful space where in marriage, like that intimacy you get to experience with your husband is meant to draw you closer to him. It's meant to grow the relationship. It's meant actually even to glorify God, which is crazy, but true. It's meant to express a feeling of, hey, I'm known by you and I'm loved. Mm-hmm. Like I'm really known. I'm naked before you, quite literally, but I'm still loved. And so that is the idea, right? But then we live in a fallen world. And so we experience all of these negative side effects of a broken sexual life. And for the woman experiencing pain or discomfort around even the conversation or kind of lack in ability to talk about this with her husband, that is really common. A, B, I'm sorry. Like that is difficult. However, there is healing and there is hope for you. You are on a journey, right? We all are. And we learn as we grow. We learn as we grow in Christ. We learn as we grow as adults, as our roles change in life. So I would encourage that woman to do a few things. I would encourage her, like I said earlier, to process what's going on by herself alone, to write it out, to journal, to pray, to consider, should I go talk to somebody about this? Sometimes we repress memories that are really bad and they come out in adulthood because of some sort of trigger. We need to go through those. And like God meets us in those. He is not absent from that. He does not hide himself away when you feel gross or yucky or when you're remembering something terrible. He is present with you in that. He loves you dearly and he wants you to run to him. And so really press into your discomfort, which I know is uncomfortable, like obviously, but do that with the idea that God is with you, that you are safe, that he loves you, and that there is healing to be had. There is great blessing that God will provide. And then next, I mean, if there is kind of pain, there's a few things, right? You can seek out medical care. You could seek out the wisdom from other women who have talked about this before or who have shared this with you, if you happen to know anyone, but more likely you probably feel alone in that pain.
Yes.
Practically as a sex ed teacher, I can think of one reason that there might be pain, which is that for women, you know, we need to feel like excited to have sex. We can't just like dive right in like some guys can. We really want to feel attached to our person and like know him and feel safe with him and loved by him. And if I can be totally honest with you, like, so I've been married 10 years, just this last summer, we celebrated 10. And in the times that I myself have been uncomfortable around sex, because yes, I have been too, there was often something going on between me and my husband. Now, I didn't always know, right? Like I didn't know what was going on with him or myself or us, but some of that, and I'm not saying this is all pain by any means, some of it really is medical conditions, but it could be that something's off, like something is going on in the marriage. What's going on with him? You know, sometimes people feel discomfort and inability to enjoy sex is because their minds are elsewhere. Like whether it's seeped in fantasy, whether it's addiction to porn, that will slowly, but most definitely take you away from your spouse. It will. It destroys. It's of Satan. It's just, there's nothing good about pornography.
Yeah.
Nothing good about it. And so it will slowly start to destroy and wreak havoc in your marriage or your relationships. So I would press into that as well. And then practically talk about sex when you're not having sex. Like if you're about, yes. if you're like making out and getting excited, like, don't be like, "Hey, I wanted to talk to you about something, honey. Like this time works." No, like literally when the kids are asleep or when, you know, friends are not at your home, obviously, yes. like when you're alone, find space with your husband to really talk and say, "Hey, this is hard for me," or like, yeah. "This is awkward," or like, "I don't even know what to say, but I really want to ask you some things, or I want to talk to you about something, or I want to tell you that sex is painful because I think actually it's just like my body is not excited enough
yeah.
and I don't know why." You might not be excited to have sex because, again, you never learned about your body. You never yes. learned about uh-huh. sex. You don't even know what to expect. Maybe there's fear in sex for some reason. Maybe there's discomfort with your own body. And you have something going on there, or, you know, you're carrying over something that happened in the past into your marriage, which definitely mm-hmm. happens.
Yes.
And so really investigate, like, what's going on in me? How can I process that? How can I seek help, in medical form or in spiritual, you know, and relationally with my husband, and talk about it in a quiet space when you're mm-hmm. not about to have sex, about what's going on.
Yeah.
And really pray about the conversation beforehand. It might be awkward, but it will be worth it. It will be yes. worth it. I promise. Yeah.
That's such great advice. And I appreciate your biblical perspective and your practical perspective. I mean, I could just go off with like a million questions on that topic, but you have yeah. created so many resources for, you know, parents and really that educate us on our own bodies, which I think is so important, like you're saying. And so, really? You know, I think that even if you're a single woman, going through your resources, searching your website, looking on your social media, I think can be so helpful because that, you know, just the confidence and the assurance that we are like, there's nothing wrong with us. We're normal. Or, you know, like, oh, this is something a lot of women experience. I can go and get help in this area mm-hmm. is huge. And I know for many women, they don't feel like they have that person that they can go and talk to or that they can go and find these answers from. And they don't just want to mm-hmm. Google, like, who knows where you'll end up. So right. I love Sex Ed Reclaimed. I love everything that you're doing. And you, I mean, like I said, I could talk about this all day, but I do want to know from you, what are some of the most common questions that you get from women? Because you probably have like a top question or two that, especially women, when it comes to themselves or that you've had, you know, in your own like in classroom teaching experience, women who are like, what about this? Or how do I view this? Does anything come to mind?
Yes. Oh my goodness, girl. You don't even know the questions I've gotten in my life. I feel like I've been asked everything. Anytime somebody's talking about anything and they're like, this is awkward, but I'm like, nope, it's yes. not. I've heard it all. Yes. Please. Because I've been in all settings. So I feel like I've just heard it all. Yeah. You know, the most common question I get from women, if they're parents, it is probably about parenting and how to talk to their kid about sex, you know, very yeah. specific ones. Like when do I use appropriate names for their body? When do I talk to them about porn? When do I, you know, those kinds of questions come up a lot. And there's a lot of those, but that's part of really why Sex Ed Reclaimed was born.
Yes. Yes.
Because I want people to have those conversations at an age appropriate time in their kid's life. And I want to provide it for them.
Yes.
So they can use that. From women in general, I do get a lot of questions about the body. They don't know how their body works. They don't really know what the purpose of certain parts of their body is.
Yeah.
They experience discomfort in sex. I mean, I do get that question a lot. And so I'm grateful you brought it up. They never learned about anything. And so they're wondering how their body is supposed to function now. And then additionally, I definitely get, and maybe this is surprising to people, maybe it's not at all, but I get a lot of questions about porn. And, you know, Christians, we know like porn is bad, right?
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that we haven't seen it or that we haven't been yeah. exposed to it or that our, you know, family members aren't watching it or yes. addicted to it. And so I get a lot of questions about porn and, you know, how that plays out in adult life, in relationship, in just kind of brokenness, really. And what do I do about it now? You know, I've seen it 5 years ago. I watched it this many times, or now I'm addicted to it. What do I do now? And so thankfully there are really good resources out there for that. But I just love talking to women about that, because what I'm really interested in is not so much the behavior exactly as I am what's going on in their hearts. Mm. Like, it's not just like we all struggle with lust because we're all sinful. Yes, that's true. But each of us struggle with lust for different reasons. Yeah. You know, when you're struggling with sexual brokenness in your marriage, let's say you're struggling with, the desire to like flirt with somebody else. Mm-hmm. It's not so much that in and of itself is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about why.
Like,
why do you want to flirt with that person? What's going on? And so I really love to talk to people about what's going on in their hearts and what's happened in their past experiences and what their life looks like now and how they're processing it. One flaw of sex ed that I am still sad about is that I don't think kids learned how to appropriately talk about their feelings, particularly boys, but I think boys and girls. You know, how do we name the feeling? Like, I am feeling very overwhelmed because of this. So therefore, that doesn't mean I should turn to XYZ. In fact, I should bring it to God. I should bring it to my family. I should bring it to prayer. I should bring it to really processing. And people don't know how to deal with their feelings. It's just hard. And so they take it to places like social media, like pornography, like food, you know, like extreme exercise, whatever. You could name a thousand things here that people run to that they're looking to fulfill that issue. But when people come to me with questions about sex, I'm actually really interested at the heart behind it.
So good.
And I would encourage people, it's hard, but I would encourage people to investigate their own hearts behind it. Like, what is their unique story?
Yes.
And what does God say about that? Who are you? Who does God say that you are? Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of my curriculum content is identity. Like, I talk about identity a lot. Who does God say you are? Because in today's culture, like, kids are basically encouraged, well, whatever you're into right now, that's your identity. And like, just go for it. Follow your heart. You do you. And that advice is actually really damaging if you fully believe it. You know, if you're fully buying into all of that, because our fleshly desires are not good.
Like,
we have evil desires in our heart. And so I want to know, okay, what's going on and why? Mm-hmm. And like, know that there's grace and mercy for you.
Yes.
There's so much love that the Lord has for his children. Mm-hmm. And he already knows. He already knows what we've done, what we've thought, you know, and he still loves us. So.
Well, it gives me so much hope knowing that everything you're sharing is like a part of your course, and that that's going to be just like that mindset is behind the, you know, the truths and the help and the practical help that you're sharing. I'm curious, cause like I said, I have a 2.5-year-old. So how soon should we start having these conversations? What age do your courses start at, you know, cause it's like, do I wait till they're, you know, 12 and asking questions? Do I start, do I get ahead of the game? What's your advice? And what are your resources? Like who are they geared toward?
Yeah. My resources are geared toward really anyone, but my content is for 3 to 18-year-olds. I actually start really young. The really young kids are going to learn really different things than what's in the 14 to 18-year-old curriculum, because those kids are at a completely different stage of life. Yeah. But 3-year-olds, for example, since you have a 2.5-year-old, they are going to learn about proper body names. Like, what are these parts of my body?
Yes.
Why am I special? Why are they special? They're going to learn a little bit about who they are. God's like purpose for them, the identity that God puts on them because they're made in his image. They're going to learn about body safety. They're going to learn about keeping their clothes on. Yes. You know, when is it okay to take your clothes off? When is it not? They're going to learn a little bit about proper hygiene as well. Whereas when you get to the older kids, right, the teenagers or the preteens, we're talking a lot more about healthy relationships. We're talking about sexting. We're talking about what are the dangers of pornography? What does porn do to the brain?
Yes.
You know, how do you talk about sex? What do you do if somebody comes out to you? What if you think you're gay? What do you do about pronouns? Do you talk about your pronouns? Do you not? Do you respect other people's pronouns? Do you not? Like, how do you go about that? So we're really talking about kind of the hard conversations with older kids because they're wanting to know.
Yes.
So my advice to you is to start now. When he, you know, is bathing or when he's touching part of his body or when he's changing, like you can just use the right words because research shows like the kids who know the right words had far less shame around my body. Kind of those not as great narratives growing up, and it starts early. Additionally, kids who experience abuse, they can name it. Like they can name it really quickly versus a 10-year-old who maybe was in a terrible situation and then doesn't know how to say that to her parent or his parent. And so really use appropriate names now. And actually that's a part of sex ed. That's how you can start to talk to your child now. And I'm a big fan of utilizing opportunities in the world. Like some parents operate, I think, out of fear, right? And they're always playing defense. And I do think there's a place for defense. But I really hope that parents in this regard can be on the offense. Like they can be the ones to really talk to their kids because your kid is learning about sex. The question is from whom? They absolutely will learn about sex. They will probably see porn by the time they're 11 or 12. But are you, I know. But are you going to be on the offense? Or are you always going to be playing defense, right? And so, you know, I had a friend the other day text me, oh my goodness, we were watching this TV show for kids and this couple was in it and I didn't know what to say. So I just turned it off. And it's like, yeah, I understand that reaction. But honestly, that's probably more fear-based. That's probably a little bit defensive. What would be better in that opportunity is to say, hey, kids, you just saw this couple in the show. What did you think about that? Do you know any couples like that? What does God say about that? How can we show love to those people? And that really shows, hey, I'm a safe space to talk. Like, I'm a good person to talk to about this kind of stuff. Mommy or daddy, we're not scared of this. Like, mommy loves talking about this kind of stuff with you. And I think that's a great opportunity and not just a challenge. Challenges can be great opportunities.
That's so good. I know. Kristen and I, we start our book, Sex, Purity, and the Longings of a Girl's Heart, off with a story about when we were kids. And back then, you know, social media didn't exist. All of that didn't exist. And we found a pornographic magazine like in our neighborhood. And so we shared that whole story. And we were like so shocked. We didn't know what to do. So we literally like dug a hole in the dirt and buried it in there. And we didn't tell anyone literally until like adulthood. We didn't talk about it. There was just, you know, and we didn't know where to go or who to say, you know, we didn't even know really like the correct terms, like you're saying. And so I can see the wisdom so much in not only, you know, playing the offense, but even equipping your kids with the proper terminology, with the proper words so that they can be, you know, like better protected and safer and know how to even like defend and stand up for themselves and not just feel so like, oh, if they do see something, like I just have to keep this quiet. I could never tell mom because she probably doesn't even know what this is, you know? So I so appreciate all that you're doing. And I honestly can't wait for your courses to come out so that I can work through them and start, you know, like you're saying with Davey Jr., who's going to be 3 in February. It just gives me so much confidence as a mom knowing like, wow, I don't have to wing this. I don't have to do this alone. You have put so much time and energy and just years of experience. And you're also a parent as well into creating these courses and just all of your resources so that, you know, moms like myself don't have to feel like, okay, we just have to figure this out. So thank you for that. I know so many other moms who are listening right now are probably like, yes, this is exactly what we need. Is there anything you'd like to leave with the Girl Defined Sisterhood? Any final thoughts before we go?
I am really thankful for you guys and the work you're doing. I'm excited for this book that you guys worked on and I'm excited to read it. Honestly, my last thought for people, my last kind of tidbit is really to just keep trusting God in this area of life too. Sex is not a secret. It's not something shameful. It is also not what culture portrays it to be. And culture has a lot of words about sex and a lot of images. And your kids will be affected by them. Absolutely. And we can choose to live in fear of that. Or we can choose to really participate in our child's life in regards to the conversation about sex. It's not going to be easy. It's not always going to be super fun, but there's going to be many opportunities for us to come alongside our kid and say, hey, listen, I'm here for you. I want to talk about this kind of stuff. I love you. And actually, God made this and it's really good. And he made a great, great design for it. But that comes, part of knowing that design comes from trusting him and trusting that he had a holy, beautiful purpose for it. And so I'm excited to see what God's going to do with Sex Ed Reclaim, what God's going to continue to do with you guys. And I always welcome the DMs and the messages, any and all questions, believe me, really, I've heard it all. So
go to Kristen and ask her all the hardest questions. Right. She's got the answers.
I'm here for you. I love to be a resource and I'm just honored to be in this space. Mm-hmm. See what God is going to do with it. Mm-hmm.
And give us just real quick where they can find you, your website and your social media and stuff.
Yeah. So the website is sexedreclaimed.com. Content will be released soon, maybe even by the time this podcast is live.
Yes.
But you can keep checking back for more. You can put your email on that as well, and then you'll be part of my newsletters. And then the Instagram is also sexedreclaimed. And my email is kristen@sexedreclaimed.com.
So that's awesome. Thank you so much. And I encourage you, if you're listening, if you're single, if you are married, Kristen is such a great resource and so just wise and insightful, because she's really combining her, just all of her years of experience of, just sex education with a biblical perspective, which is amazing. So thank you so much, Kristen, for being on here with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Oh, that was such an awesome conversation. Thank you, Sisterhood, for joining me for that. I know that may have been different than some of our usual conversations, because a lot of what we talked about was geared towards the next generation of mothers and those of you who are currently mothers, and how we can better raise children to thrive in this area. And I think that's important, because a lot of the Girl Defined Sisterhood are moms now. A lot of you are either pregnant, or you have one kid or two kids or more, or you hope to be a mother in the future. And I think that not only talking about sexuality for ourselves, but then how to pass on a biblical perspective to the next generation without, swinging from one ditch to the other is huge. Again, a good starting place for you would be Sex, Purity, and the Longings of a Girl's Heart, our book on everything to do with sex and purity and sexuality and just how to deal with struggles or issues regarding porn, masturbation, erotica, just understanding God's incredible design, finding freedom, redemption, just God's perspective of you, why he created sex, all the things. So that would be a good starting place for you. And then of course, Kristen's resources over at Sex Ed Reclaimed are amazing. And if you plan to have children or have children, definitely grab her resources, because I'm so excited to get to raise Davy Jr. with all of these wonderful mindsets. So that's it for today. I cannot wait to see y'all again next week.